I'd like to focus this morning on the word blessing. It's a word that you've probably heard thousands of, hundreds or not thousands of times. Some of you say a blessing before a meal. You've certainly read the word blessing in scriptures and heard different times and places that word blessings. It's a word that we've probably heard so many times that we've become accustomed to it and maybe even forget how precious blessings are and the idea of blessing is. There's an incredible number of blessings in the Bible. Blessings for God's people. Blessings for those that the Father is watching over. There's an amazing number of blessings in the Bible that apply to each one of us. Sometimes in different ways or in different places. But when we read through the Bible, when we read the number of times we find the word blessing, there's just an incredible number. About 10 days ago, I took some time and I looked through the references to blessing, blessings, being blessed throughout the Bible. And there's literally hundreds of places where the Bible talks about blessings. I'd like us this morning to focus for a few minutes on the blessings of God and be reminded of some of the promises of God that He has for His people, that He has for you, and He has for me. These promises, these blessings summarize how important you are to God and that God wants to bless you. God wants to help you. God wants to be with you. God wants to hold you up. God wants to bring you through difficult times. God wants you to know the purpose that He has for you. The blessings of God are many. I know we don't focus that often on the list of blessings, but this morning I want to read you some scriptures about how God feels about you. There may be a time in your life when you're wondering, does God really know where I'm at? Does God know what I need? Does God know what I'm going through? Does God really have anything for me? Well, I want you to know that the promises of God are sure. Whether you call it the blessings of God of which I'm going to read, or you call it the promises of God of which there are so many in scriptures today, I want you to hear some of the blessings of God and think about how much God cares about you. To start with, in the very first chapter of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1, we read these words about God's blessing of people. So God created man in His own image, in the image of God. He created him, male and female. He created them. God blessed them and said, be fruitful and increase in number. I notice several things about that. Number one, it's in the beginning of the Bible. It's in the first story. Number two, it's part of the first words that God speaks to man. Be fruitful and increase. God blessed them and said, there's something that the Creator did for mankind and humanity, and He does for us made in His image. There's a blessing, a certain blessing. It's different than a blessing on the rest of creation, which God blessed the creation, but He blessed man uniquely. God blessed them and said, not only did He bless them, but He gave to them instructions. He gave to them relationship. The truth is, God in His blessings wants a living relationship with us. He doesn't want to be this distant being that's sitting on a throne with a lightning bolt in one hand and a book in the other and just watching and keeping score of what's going on down here on earth. God wants to be involved in our lives. He wants to help us. He wants to be close to us. He wants to be very near to us. And so this morning, I want you to think about how God is blessing you, how God does care deeply about you and your life. From that point on in Genesis chapter 1, we have many references to God's blessings. I'm going to read a few of them this morning. The Bible is full of promises. It's full of places that just show us the affection of God and how God wants to be connected to us, to His people. You may wonder, well, what does God have for me? Does God really see me individually? I mean, it might be easier to believe that God loves the whole world and He sent Jesus to die for the whole world, but that God loves you individually. We know He does. He says He does. He says He knows the number of days we have. He knows the hair on our head. He knows everything about us before one day comes to be. That's an amazing God. This infinite God has a personal love for you and me. And the promises that we read and we look at show us that in many ways. Here's just two of them, one from the Old Testament and one from the New Testament, of what God says about how He cares about you and I. One from the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 65 says, "I will take delight in my people, for they will be a people blessed by the Lord." You realize the word delight there? God takes delight in His people. I mean, again, you might think of God as being this being that's just keeping score, but He is capable of such things that we call emotions. I don't know that that's the right term to say God has emotions, but He has the qualities that we think of that come with individual personality, that come with expression of individualism. God is a being, and He somehow has personality qualities. Maybe they're like us in some ways and maybe very different than us. I mean, in some ways, God made us in His image, and so we know that we're like Him. In other ways, He's so different than us and above and beyond us. But look at this verse. "I will take delight in my people." This is the words of God through the prophet Isaiah. I look at my people with delight. I love my people. They're important to me. They're special to me. I care about them. I'm watching over them. Hear the heart of God this morning. "I will take delight in my people, for they will be a people blessed by the Lord." God makes that promise to those that know Him and love Him. Then from the New Testament, 1 John chapter 3, "Behold the manner of love." One translation says, "Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God." The writer says, behold, look at, think about, consider, stop and listen to. Let it go deeper into your spirit. Think about the manner of God's love. Behold the manner of God's love. That's the first part. Consider who God is. Consider how God feels about you. Consider what the quality of love that God has for you. Consider, behold, the manner of love. God has an incredible love for you. He has an incredible love for His people. He hath bestowed on us that we should be called the children of God. That's how God sees you and I, His children. God sees us as ones upon which He puts His favor and His care and His love. Those of you that are parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, you know that incredible feeling of a child, that incredible sense of connectedness and belonging and watchful care and how precious a child is. Imagine what it's like for this incredible God with His manner of love, this incredible love, and how He feels about His children. He sees all of us. He doesn't just see us as a people. We are a people in that we are His chosen people. But more than that, we are individuals to God. And He sees us with great love and great care. Blessings from God begin with the greatness of His love. One of my favorite pictures of Jesus is of Him holding the children and blessing them. I don't mean this particular artist picture, but I mean the picture of Jesus when He's blessing children. You know, Jesus was so busy. He had so many people coming to Him to get healed. Everywhere He went, they just climbed on Him and followed Him and grabbed Him and yelled at Him and help us. And He was physically weary many times, and He had to get away from the crowds, and He tries as He might. He just couldn't. But you know how busy Jesus was. But one of the pictures that I just love about Jesus is those parents who were they were bold, they were pushy, and they took their children. I could just see they would say, excuse me, I want to bring my child to Jesus. And you know, the disciples, you know, the picture, they have eight. Don't bother Jesus with the children. And then what does Jesus say, of course, to them? Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for of such is the kingdom of God. And then the gospel says, and Jesus took the little children in His arms and blessed them. I think how important it is, that blessing. See, that tells us something about the heart of God and how He sees us. I believe that's the kind of father that God is. I know it might seem a little touchy-feely. Maybe it seems a little emotional. But I just imagine God the Father, and somehow, some way, God wants to pick you up in his arms spiritually and say, I'm with you. I'm watching over you. I care for you. I love you. You're important to me. That's the God we see in the Bible, the God of blessing, the God who loves to bless. And how important it is for us to understand blessing in each other's lives, words of blessings, how the Bible talks so much about the words that we use, and we are not to speak words except words that bless people. That scripture in Ephesians, I've quoted it many times, and I feel it deep in my heart. Let no unwholesome word come out of your mouth except for what builds others up. That's the call of God for his people, to bless others like he blesses them. How important it is to bless our children, to know him, the words of affection, the love, the playing, the role playing, all those things that go into children and their development physically and emotionally and spiritually. How important that blessing is. I mean, that's important. And just think of the idea of blessing, how children need blessing, and how our hearts are broken when we see children that don't have that blessing. How important it is for us as a church to bless children, just period. I think of the caravan program. I think of kids' church and preschool and Bible school and kids' camp and those things that we do to minister to children. To me, they are core important to who we are, to bless the children and to be a church that loves children and loves young people and loves to bless people. And beyond that, not just children, but how important it is for me to bless you and for you to bless me. How important it is that we're responsible to bless one another. You're responsible for your brother, Paul writes. You're responsible for each other. That's part of the body of Christ, the blessing, the encouragement, the saying to one another, you're valuable. And I'm with you on your journey, and I want to help you on your journey how I can. I'm not going to sit back and criticize you and judge you and point out where you're not right. My job is to come alongside you and help you to do better, help you to make the journey, help you to see God clearer, help you when you fall and you mess up to get back up and keep moving. That's what God calls you and I to be blessed people, to bless one another, to receive the great blessings of God and be a blessing in each other's lives. I'm thankful for God's blessings. I want to be a blesser. I want to be somebody that helps people along in their journey, not sitting back and evaluating everybody and who's right and who's wrong and who's got it and who don't, who messed up and who's perfect. That's not my job. My job is to be a blessing and an encourager. God calls you and I to be a blessing and encourager in the body of Christ, in the church. Who will be blessed? I think of all the scriptures that talk about blessings. We do know that there's principles of God's blessings that he gives us as his people. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." You know, God is a God of the future. He is a God of blessing. He is a God of saying, wherever you're at today, I have a good plan for you. I have a direction for you to go that will be blessings in your life. That's something that I can freely say to everybody I encounter in life. Good people and bad people. I can say to them, God has a plan from this day forward for you. You choose whether you follow that or not. You choose whether you humble yourself about your past and sin, what you do. But I could look anybody in the face and say, God has a good plan for you. You have to make the choice to do that. And this scripture is powerful. For I know the plans I have for you. They're not just random out there. God knows your life, and he has a beautiful plan. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. There are principles of God's blessings that he gives us as his people. There are things that we can do that unleash God's blessings in our lives. There are attitudes that we can have that open up the door of God's blessings. All kinds of different blessings in life. For example, and I'm going to give you five, but the first one is this. When we trust God, He is able to bless us when we trust Him. When we trust God, then we are able to give God the opportunity to work in our lives. When we hold on to control, when we hold on to settling things ourselves, then we shut off the communication and the blessings of God. But when we trust God, trust opens our hearts to God, and we can receive His blessings. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 7 says this, "But blessed is the man who puts his trust in the Lord, whose confidence is in Him. He will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream." Think of that. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in Him. Boy, we are blessed when we trust God. God helps us to deal with the hurts and the pains and the challenges of life when we give it into His hands and we trust Him. So many scriptures talk about that, how trusting God unleashes and opens up the hand of God in your life. That when you give it to Him and you trust Him, God can work in your life. Another quality that opens up God's blessing is respect for God's authority. Respecting God. Opening up our heart and our lives to respect Him. Another word that's used in the Bible is the word fear, to fear God. When we fear God, not when we're shaking in our boots type fear, but when we respect God for who He is and we have Him in that rightful place of authority in our lives, then God can work. He can bless us. He can lead us. He can guide us. He can help us. He can meet the needs that we have inside our hearts. He alone knows what we need. And when we respect Him, when we're walking with God, we see more how God sees. And we understand what God is trying to do and what He wants in our lives when we're walking in fellowship with Him. You know, when we're going in the same direction, we can see what God sees. If we're going that way and God's going this way, we can't possibly see what God wants for us. But when we walk together and God leads us, then we can see the blessings and how God is working in our lives. Psalm chapter 128, there's several psalms that speak to this, but this is one of them. "Blessed are all who fear the Lord, who walk in His ways. You will eat the fruit of your labor. Blessings and prosperity will be yours." These are great pictures. They're great symbols. They're great principles of what happens when we fear God and we respect Him and He's in that rightful place. God will work in our lives. Another area is, blessed are those who understand God's forgiveness. Those who understand God's forgiveness. Being forgiven and knowing it is a powerful, powerful blessing in our lives. When we understand that we're sinners and we understand that only God can forgive us for our sins and we trust in Him, it is a freeing experience. There's a freedom in being forgiven by God. I'd like to speak to this for a moment this morning about your life. Some of you may have trouble forgiving. Maybe it's not even trouble forgiving others. Might be. But others of you might be here today and you have trouble forgiving yourself. I want you to know that the forgiveness of God is free. It is merciful. It is full of grace. And it's a great, great, great gift that God wants to give you. If you're here today and you struggle with forgiveness, I just want to say to you, accept the forgiveness of God. He loves you so much. He's not looking to keep score. He's not looking to see how sorry you are. It's a gift. And when you understand the gift, then you can feel a freedom in your heart and your spirit about the love of God that's incredible. I mean, God loves you so much and His forgiveness is extended to you. Romans chapter 4 says it this way. "Blessed are they whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will never count against him." Boy, if you know that and you feel that, your life is opened up to a great blessing of God. You don't have to struggle anymore with, you don't have to struggle, am I right with God? You don't have to struggle with, is there anything that I've done that I shouldn't have done? You don't have to struggle with, the constant worry that you're going to displease God. Blessed are they whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will never count against him. You know, from the Old Testament is that verse that what does God do with our sins? He puts them into the depths of the sea, comma, never to be remembered against us again. Aren't you thankful for that? Never to be remembered against you. You might have trouble forgetting. Some people might have trouble forgetting. I can promise you Satan doesn't want to forget. But I'll tell you about the love of God. Never will he count them against you again. That's a great blessing that we should hold on to and remember and cherish today. It's a great blessing for God's people. A man is blessed who knows and loves the laws of God, the Word of God, the truth of God. It is a key to seeing God's hand at work. Psalm chapter 1. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and he meditates on it day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and in whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prosper. And verse 6 says, for the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Oh, God is watching out for people who are listening to him. If you're listening to God's Spirit and God's voice, be assured that God knows that. God knows your heart. God knows where you struggle. God hears the cry of the person that says, I believe, Lord, help my unbelief. God hears the struggle of the person that says, I've confessed my sin, but God, I'm having trouble forgiving myself. God hears that. God knows that. He wants to bless you. He loves you that much. God also loves a generous person. The Scriptures have many references to how important generosity is to your spirit, how important generosity in a spirit of giving is to you being free on the inside and you connecting with this loving God. A generous person will connect to the blessings of God. A generous person will connect to the outpouring of the giving of God. So many Scriptures say that. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 9 says, a generous man will himself be blessed, for he shares his food with the poor. There's so many different ways of generosity. Sometimes it's by where you spend your money. Sometimes it's where you spend your time. Sometimes it's the level of patience that you have with people that are hard to be patient with. Whatever it is, God calls us to be a generous, generous people. People who are generous have so much more. I'm sure you know of people that you know in your life are generous, and you just see there's something about them that's different. On the other hand, you might have people in your life that are tight-fisted, and they're always wanting to make sure that they get the most out of everything they can, and they're always being very careful, and they're watching, and you just know within them is a painful struggle to really sense the fullness of the joy and the fullness of the blessings of God. The Bible says that when we have a generous spirit and a generous heart, God blesses us in incredible ways. Psalm chapter 41, verse 1, our last verse I'm going to read this morning. It says, blessed is he who has regard for the weak. The Lord delivers him in the time of trouble. The Lord will bless him. I want you to think about another category. Part of generosity is the recognition of weak people. Weak people sometimes financially. Sometimes weak people emotionally. Sometimes weak people physically. Sometimes weak people spiritually. Blessed is he who has regard for the weak. Blessed are those that see weakness. The Lord delivers him in the time of trouble. The Lord will bless him. God blesses those that have a heart of giving for other people. So many blessings. I've just hit a few on this morning. I didn't even get back to Jesus' words in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, where last week we read the words, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. He gives many blessings. Think of that whole beatitude list about blessings of God. How are we blessed? Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. God gives us some qualities of how He will bless us, and hearing His heart is so important to do that. Would you stand?